Hi, I'm Bella Gandhi, founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host of this beautiful podcast. We're here to bring more love into your life, regardless of if you're single, if you're married, if you're thinking about becoming single, if you're thinking about becoming married or finding the lid to your pot. And we're going to bring more life into that love that you have or you want. You might have seen me on Good Morning America or Steve Harvey or the Today Show or 100 other places, but I'm so happy that you are here with us because we're going to make your life and your love better. Smart daters, welcome back to this week's podcast episode. And this is a real treat because my guest today is not only somebody who's quite well known in the field of love and dating, but somebody that I consider to be a friend who is beyond lovely. Her name is Robin Ducharme, and I will give you a quick bio of hers before we break into conversation, because we're probably not even going to come up for a breath of air between the two of us. So Robin is, she's the founder and CEO of Real Love Ready, which is a company that really helps turn relationship theory into real life skills. Robin and I had the same mentor, Rachel Greenwald, when we first started out in our businesses. I've been on her podcast. She's now on mine. She hosts Ask the Experts on Instagram, and she produces the Bloom Summit, which is held in Vancouver, and is the author of a new book. And that's why I am so damn lucky that she is here to talk with us about her book, Real Love Ready. Robin, welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you for having me. You know, this is a great pleasure. And as I said, when we first got back on the Zoom, you know, we've been friends for a long time. We met, I was thinking about this. I was reflecting on it, Bella. It was like 2012.
We were babies in this business.
Can you, like, it's now 2026. Think about that. And at the time, like you said, we share the same mentor, Rachel, and Rachel's a great friend of mine. I mean, I love Rachel so much. She's a rock star in all ways.
Amazing.
And she's in my book. And the reason Rachel's in my book, before I go into, but we both mentored under her to become, like, because she's been such a rock star in the matchmaking world, and you are too. And that was the start of my journey in the love business, because when I first started out, I wanted to be a great matchmaker and love coach. And so I thought, well, how do I do that? How do I become one of the best? Is you learn from the best, you know?
Amen. Amen.
And now here I am.
I'm
still in the love business, but now we're focused. It's like it morphed into helping people with relational literacy. Yeah. So it's been a journey, Bella, to say the least, but I've enjoyed it. I really have all along the way. You don't know where life's going to take you. You know, that's the thing. You know, I've got two teenage daughters. My one daughter's in university, and my middle daughter is like, what am I going to do with my life? I'm like, listen, I have had like 6-7 careers in my life, like careers, legit careers. And here I am running Real Love Ready. And I'm on this path, and I feel like this is it. Like I felt good about all my other careers, though, to tell you the truth. But it's like we don't know where life's going to take us, and we learn as we go. And it's like, and I could put it all together as a 48-year-old woman, and I feel like all the skills, all the tools, all the things I learned along the way have led me to where I am now.
Amazing. And what inspired you to write this book? And I know life has handed you its share of punches in the face as well. So tell us a little bit, tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are. And I think what it means to be real love ready.
Yeah. So, you know, when I started my company, Real Love Ready, that was, it's funny, I should have this number at the top of my head, but it was around 2019. Okay. So 7 years ago, I started Real Love Ready. And my book is called Real Love Ready too. I'm going to hold it up. I don't know if you can see this.
I can see it. It's purple and it's really pretty. And it looks like Northern Lights.
So it's, oh my gosh, Bella. I tell a story in my book about Northern Lights.
I got there. I didn't want to put the book down.
Oh yeah. So what does the name Real Love Ready mean? My company, everything we're doing around building relational literacy is working with experts around the world, all the teachers, the therapists, the doctors, the love coaches, matchmakers, everybody that is helping the population with love and how to be better in relationships, how to find love, how to find the next relationship. I mean, that's the business you're in. What does it mean to be real love ready? Well, the way I see it is, it's being in relationship with ourselves and with each other, with an open heart, with a willingness to learn, where there's gaps in our relationships, where there's challenges, it's facing those head on and being like, where am I struggling here? Where's my part? And how am I going to look at this in a way where it's like towards your growth? Like, how can I be better in this interaction? How can I make better choices so I'm connecting deeper with the people around me? And that's a daily practice. A lot of it has to do with unlearning, relearning, right? I mean, that's a lot of what you're doing with Smart Dating Academy. You're helping people that are looking for that next deep connection. And a lot of that has to do with relearning and unlearning stuff that's in our way to
100%.
having really, really healthy relationships, getting rid of the myths that we're taught and surrounded by still, you know?
And even so, yes, it's learning, unlearning. And just because you make it to the big threshold, maybe your goal, dear listener, is to get married or to have a healthy relationship, the learning doesn't stop there. The learning only gets deeper at that point because as you get to be in more and more of an intimate relationship. I've been married to my husband now for 28 years, right? It is, right? You have to constantly, I am constantly learning, literally on a daily basis, how to be better, how to be more loving, how not to be triggered, right? And this is work. We don't master this work. We are perpetual students.
This is the very first chapter in my book is about love is the curriculum. And this is lifelong. We signed up for this, you know? I have a very deep belief that, you know, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. We're not human beings having a spiritual experience. So what does that mean? That means that as souls, it's like we came here. We were destined to come here into these bodies and
Yes.
meet each other and interact with each other and have relationships. And not all are roses and sunshine, as we know. You know, learning about love and living love in love, being love, is a lifelong practice. And when you look at it that way, it can change everything. Like when we have a wider perspective about what's actually going on here, we could slow right down and be more present in our lives and with each other. That in itself is a ma is like trust me, I've learned mindfulness more in the last 2 years than I've ever practiced in my life. And
100%.
yeah, it's changed my life. It's changed my life. It changed my relationships.
I feel like we're on similar journeys, and I have learned so much in the past few years about, yes, we come into the world with these soul contracts with people,
Yes, we
right?
do.
And we can reframe them, and we can reframe almost everything that happens to us on a daily basis with people that we love, that might hurt us, that might do well for us, with challenges that come to us. My biggest reframe is everything that comes at me, if it seems like it's going to bring up a bad feeling, an emotion, sad, angry, scared, whatever, pause and say, this is a teacher. What is this supposed to teach me? This is a gift. And this is the way, this is what I, as Bella, am supposed to learn in this lifetime, is how to be more loving and more like love.
Oh my gosh, Bella. See, this is exactly. And I do want to say that what I've seen is like this planet, people on this planet, on Earth, this is a collective that's going on. Have you seen this? Because I sure have. Like, okay, we can look at the news, we can look at the media, and we can see a lot of divisiveness driven by fear and power and, you know, trying to divide us. And then I also see the other side in my lived experience, in my day-to-day with my children, with my partner, with my colleagues, my friends. We are wanting to be good people, loving people. And how do we do that? It's like, we are already loving. Okay, let's start there. We don't need to, like, it's not, there's nothing broken. We don't need to be fixed. But no. I do think it's like we can train our minds to think differently. And when our thoughts are different, our behavior is different. So absolutely. I see a collective consciousness of us raising the bar here. You know, it's time. In the face of, like I said, divisiveness, where, how do we become part of the change? How do we be more loving? How do we build more connection? It's in our homes. It's in our relationships with our children. It's in our daily interactions when it's like, I'm going to be going downtown in the next 2 hours to meet my daughter and her friends to go shopping. Okay. I'm going to be present with them. I'm going to be going to the store and be friendly to everybody that's coming along my path, you know, with kindness. I want to be known as that person that is kind and loving. And I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about being aware and present and like being thoughtful in my day-to-day choices.
It's so true. It's like when you look at every person that comes your way as part of, we're all like part of this one collective, right? It's like, I think it's Marianne Williams says that says, what will say, look, the love in me salutes the love in you. And that's it. And we're all part of that same light. So when you can look at every person that you come across, and daters, you know, listening to this, when you look at every person that you come across, whether it's on a phone date, a video date, a real date, 8 dates, a relationship, right? It's ultimately this person is, we're all of the same. And ultimately, what is this person here to teach you? How do you be better? And reframing it in this way versus, oh my gosh, I didn't like this. I didn't like this. Dating sucks. This is so depressing. It's disappointing. It's frustrating. What is each of these interactions? Why are you in this date, in this moment? It's meant to teach you something. Come from love and you'll see the lesson.
You will.
Come from love and you'll see the lesson.
And it could be as simple as, you know, making an intention before the date, right? I'm going to show up as my best self. God help me. You know, I pray to God. I like that's, and if you don't believe in, if you don't use the word God, source, universe, just
whatever,
love in general, I want to be loving on and my best self. Help me show up with joy. Help me show up with curiosity, a willingness to learn, an open heart. Doesn't mean you're going to sit there and be completely transparent and just open book, you know, on your date, because that's not going to serve anybody. You don't know this person. You got to build trust, right? But you can absolutely,
you don't want to show up and throw up, as I call it.
Oh yeah, good one. But you want to show up with a willingness to be like, you know, curious and just, what can this person, you know, teach you, you know, or just have fun. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, joy is so important in life. I mean, how can you spark joy? How can you bring joy to a new interaction, right?
100%. I mean, one of the concepts that we come back to, so at Smart Dating Academy, as we were talking about, we were babies in the business. I started mine at the end of 2009. And yeah, one of the concepts that has transformed our clients' dating lives and help them to find lasting love. I mean, God, Robin, in the 16 years since I founded the business, people that have followed our methods and not like gone astray, but really taken the coaching, we've had zero divorces of the clients that have decided to get married. And one of the transformational things we do with every single client is talk about what we call their elevator people. And that's actually our registered trademark now, is we talk about people that elevate you. Who are the people in your life that elevate you? And we take each person through this really like mind-blowing exercise where we go through their elevator people one by one and look for the characteristics that elevate them. And then we preference those. That becomes the list that we use in the dating world. I'm like, you want someone that is basically, think about the concept of that. You're thinking about the best people in your life, your closest friends, maybe your family, whoever the creme de la creme of these relationships are in your life. And you're the people that elevate you. And you're like, well, why the hell wouldn't I look for those characteristics out in the dating world? Right. So it's been magnificent to watch this happen. We've thousands of anecdotes around this and tens of thousands of elevator people defined. It's unbelievable.
Well, I'll tell you right now, just even this interaction, I'm feeling elevated. So this is a lived practice. Like we're doing it for each other, you know, in this interaction. That's beautiful. In my book, I've got a chapter dedicated to friendship and how important our friends are in teaching us about love. I mean, the gift of friendship. And one of the reflections is doing, like Danielle Laporte taught me this in one of her podcast episodes. It was like last year's like New Year's resolution podcast. And it was like, all right, let's do an audit, a friendship audit, or like an audit of the seven people in your sphere of influence. The seven people that you spend the most time with are your sphere of influence,
For
right? I
sure.
mean,
They don't
who are
necessarily have
you?
to be elevator people,
Oh
but
no,
they're
what
your
I'm
sphere of
saying.
influence.
Yes, because they're influencing you. The people you spend the most time with are your, like, we influence each other, but just by proxy, by spending time with these people, right? And so what she's saying is that when we do this audit, it's like you can get a, just being aware of like, how do I feel when I'm in, well, when I'm with this person that I spend so much time with? I mean, am I feeling lifted? Am I feeling drained? What am I bringing to the interaction? I think it's a great exercise, right? And I love what you say about so much of this, Bella, in life, in living, it's about awareness. It starts with awareness because I don't know how to change or how to grow if I'm not aware of the places where I need to do that growth or that, right? Or that change. So when
Absolutely.
you are pointing this out around the elevator people, it's like, perfect example. You're on a date with somebody. How are you feeling about yourself when you're with that person? Okay. Getting this is how why mindfulness is so important and being present in our bodies. How am I feeling about, like, am I feeling elevated? Am I feeling good? Am I feeling like alive? Am I feeling like this is flowing? You know, it doesn't have to be like fireworks and butterfly, all that. Like, I mean, that's sometimes we could talk about that, but and are they bringing, like, are they giving me energy too? Is this flowing, right? Or is this a sucking? Am I feeling drained when I leave that interaction? So much of it is just like reading ourselves and getting to know ourselves on this deeper level so that we can be more, you know, in our relationships.
Well, and you're right. We need to have all of this introspection, you know, and at the moment, because if you don't, you tend to get sucked back into old patterns where you're thinking that chemistry is compatibility. And suddenly, you know, your reward system is like, oh, novelty, someone new, someone interesting. Let me, you know, put down a lot of dopamine, which basically motivates you to seek out this person, which may or may not be good for you, right? And this is how we really can mistake chemistry for compatibility. Right? And is this person an elevator person? No, they might be making me feel really on edge. And especially if you grew up in an environment where we can't pick our parents, and if you were always walking on eggshells and in this state of emotional activation where you always felt like you were on edge because you didn't know what mom or dad were going to do, right? It's like all of a sudden, somebody that feels unpredictable, anxiety provoking, like gives you juices of cortisol that starts to feel comfortable.
It feels
Not what
familiar.
you want,
And
right?
somehow, as human beings, like we're wired to go towards the familiar, whether that's healthy or not. You know, my book is part memoir, but there's so much that is bringing together the expert wisdom that I've gained in the last 7 years. So, you know, we've had a podcast, Let's Talk Love, for years, and I've interviewed hundreds of therapists and experts like yourself around the world. And every year we host In Bloom, which is like it's a love and relationship summit. So it's 2.5 days of learning and community. And you leave there and you're like, holy crap, like what just happened to me right here? I just learned from, like, honestly, like the top people that are going to give you the tools and the skills to be better in relationship. And then you have to take that into your life and apply it. Like, we can take in all the information. And that's the thing, Bella. Behind me are all these books of all the experts that I've interviewed. And it's all about being better in relationship. But it's not until we start applying it that we're going to start seeing positive change. And so that's, you talked about the spark. So, I talk about Damona Hoffman is a love coach and dating coach. And so is
Damona's
Logan
been on my
Urie.
podcast. Yeah.
Yes, and Logan Urie. So I talk about their teachings around the spark myth, right? I mean, we've been taught to believe how important chemistry and the spark is. But really, it's a myth. What we want in our relationships is safety. Like,
Yes.
there's nothing more important than safety. And that is built through time. That is built through consistency. That is built through honesty and trust. All of these things take time. And I'm not devaluing deep connection and, like, desire and, like, but all of that is built through getting to know somebody. So, and you know what I mean? It's like a slow burn. Like, it takes time to actually build, like, a strong connection with somebody that will, become like the foundation of your partnership,
Yes, and it should be a slow burn, and you have to really check in. And if you're relying too heavily on the spark, and one of the things, I've been saying for a million years, because I did my own research back when I was in college and was dating all different kinds of people. And I was like, why is it that everybody that gives me butterflies breaks my heart? Right? And what I came to realize is, this was anxiety. The
Oh,
butterflies
yeah.
that I thought were excitement and me being swept off my feet were my body saying, get the hell out of here. This is dangerous for you. This is like you feel like you're getting on a roller coaster kinds of butterflies where your stomach comes up to your mouth. Like every time you look at your phone, you're like, oh. Oh my God, is it that person? It's like if you're feeling that stomach come up to your mouth, you think that's excitement. I will tell you every day that person is not going to be good for you. That is your intuition saying, no way.
Yeah, you
Right?
were
And I didn't,
misreading.
you were misreading. And I didn't come from witnessing a perfect marriage with my own parents, right? So it's not like,
Yeah.
oh wow, I didn't, I no, there were plenty of things that weren't correct. And, they're still together and love each other. It just wasn't the kind of partnership that would work for me. And so I was kind of left to my own devices to figure all of this out. And it was, and so the spark, right? Lust is nature's way of tricking you into attraction and attachment. But just because you feel that lust in the beginning doesn't mean that this person is going to be right for you.
Yeah.
And people think if they don't feel that right away, well, I was just bored. I'm like, okay, there are genuinely boring people out there, right? Like, we're not gonna, for sure.
Yeah.
But it is it, again, this is a self question, a self check. And if you feel like this person's boring, is it boring because I want to feel butterflies in my stomach coming up to my throat? Or is this person actually have zero to contribute to the conversation? It is truly boring. So you have to ask yourself that question. If you think nice equals boring, you might have a familiarity pattern issue.
Yes. So much of this is about, like, I think we can't discount giving people time, and just, like, I'm sure you say this, Bella, because I did when I was a love coach and matchmaker. It was like, give it three dates, unless it was a complete bomb, the first and second. Oh, first, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes in the first, you're just like, that person is absolutely unequivocally not for me. But let's just say that you've had good conversation. They seem very kind and very respectful. Like, how much can you tell in with somebody in the first, like, meeting a perfect stranger for an hour or two on a first date? Not very much, but you can gauge how you feel. Like, are you feeling, you're not, nothing's freaky going on. Like, you're not like, oh my God, I feel completely unsafe. Like, I need to get away from this person. So giving it time, I think, is so very important. But this, when it comes down to being real love ready, there's chapters in my book, for instance, The Power of Forgiveness. I mean, are we talking enough about forgiveness and how powerful it really is as a catalyst for our change and our growth? Because forgiveness is one of the most powerful acts of love that we can give ourselves and each other. And, I talk a lot about that because where in our lives is there somebody that you need to forgive? And it's not a need. I didn't even mean to say that because it's like, I'm not here to force anybody or even just to be like, but if you could think, you know what, maybe there is something somebody that I, even yourself, opening that window, opening that crack in yourself, your heart to be like, I want to do this. I don't know if I'm ready, but there's a little part of me that's willing. Forgiveness is such a clearing. Holding on to stuff from your past or even self-forgiveness can be such a catalyst for change in our lives.
Let me ask you this: I know you've interviewed so many people. Do you have a tool? Let's say people want to forgive, but they don't know how, and they're sitting in this stew and their juice, and they're like, I know that this is, there's an old Indian saying, it's like if you hold anger inside of you, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die, right? And
Right.
so, and nobody wants to continue to feel that way. Do you have a tool that you can, or like, how do we forgive?
Well, I think so much of this is about openness. That right there, that willingness, the curiosity around it, that is a massive start, Because some of us walk around and you're not even really thinking about it, but then again, you're holding on to stuff. And it's like that in itself is like, you've got it in there, Like I tell a story in my book about how I forgave my dad. My dad is since passed. He's in spirit, but I'm telling you, he's right here in this conversation. I'm sure of it. Love you,
Hi,
Dad.
Dad.
But I was backpacking through Australia in my 20s. And I'm having a great time. Like I was living the life, Bella. Come on. I was like I was, just living the life, backpacking and like living my And all of a sudden, I just had this instant knowing. It was like this light bulb went off in my head and said, "Robin, you have to forgive your dad. I'm on a bus. I'm making my way on this 24-hour bus trip from one side of Australia to the other. And what kind of thought is that to even have? I mean, I sure as heck wasn't
Out of
thinking about my
nowhere,
dad
out
out
of
of nowhere."
nowhere.
And I was like, okay, I have to forgive him. I'm ready. And it really just appeared, And I listened. And I was like, okay. So there you go. The bus was scheduled to stop for gas. And it stopped at this, like in the middle of nowhere, like dirt road. And there's a card stand with these hand-painted cards. What are the chances? Meant to be, right? So I took one and I went onto the bus and I started writing my dad a forgiveness letter. And I just wrote and cried and cried and cried. I'm never like, I'm not the kind of person to sit down and cry and cry and cry, but I sure did. It took me like an hour to write this letter, to my dad. But I put it in the envelope. I got a stamp at the next stop and I popped it in the mailbox. I was like, it is done. It is done. Like the minute I did it, it was like this, I can tell you it was a visceral, I felt it throughout my whole body. And it was only a few months later that I met my first husband, It was like
Wow.
something I had to release in order to catapult me into this next phase of my life, which was my first husband. We were together 15 years. We had my two daughters together, our two daughters. So it wasn't that. No, so that's an example of something that I was not like looking for. It just came out of nowhere. But maybe this conversation between you and I sparks in somebody, a listener, where it's just like, okay. They're talking about forgiveness, and then all of a sudden that person comes to mind, or maybe it's self-forgiveness. You could start by acknowledging, okay, I'm not, I don't know how, but part of me is ready for this. Part of me is calling, for this. And maybe it's writing a letter. That's what I did. The written word is very powerful. It's about taking our thoughts and putting them on paper, that it's deliberate, it's an act of intentionality. That, it like maybe it's typing it in your phone if you're not a writer, And maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's just asking the universe, asking the earth. If you're not, if you're, if you know, I'm so connected to God, but I know a lot of people don't resonate with that. But we're all part of this earth, and I just believe, and I know from lived experience that when you are open, miracles are going to start to happen, and forgiveness is possible when you're willing.
Absolutely. And I love that you say forgive yourself, because you might be sitting here saying, well, I don't have anybody to forgive, right? But holding on to the things that we've done to other people, right? We're not perfect, none of us.
Oh,
As much as we
yes.
come from love, we can damage people on a daily basis, right? And it's forgiving ourselves and asking for grace and maybe saying, I'm sorry for snapping at you, right? And watching that person light up and say, I didn't even know that you snapped at me. And you're like, wait, is that good or bad? Does that mean I snap all the time? It's like, no, it didn't feel like a snap. I'm like, but it felt off to me. This happened with my husband and me. We were just on vacation in Park City, and he was doing something, and I was on my phone and trying to work, and he was just lurking around as he does. When I'm like, do you need something? Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, when someone's like trying to get your attention, I'm like, if you do, just say it. Like, just say, hi, I need you to look at me for 30 seconds. He's like, no, I'm good. And then I
Yeah.
thought, why did you have to do that? Why couldn't you have looked up and said, hey, do you need something? And come from a place of love. And I went upstairs in the condo that we were staying in. I said, I'm really sorry for snapping at you. He was like, oh my God. Don't worry about it. He's like, you were clearly involved in something, and I was just like around. He's like, but I wasn't trying to get your attention. I'm like, and I shouldn't have assumed that you were. And that was that. And we were good. And it felt so good to admit it and walk upstairs and say, I'm really sorry. And
You
he
know
was
what, Bella?
like,
I think that is so
oh.
beautiful. Like that, it is an example of what we're talking about. You're living, you that awareness that you had. Maybe it didn't affect him in a way that it affected you, but now, you're keeping it clear. Like something I talk about in my relationship with Hector, my partner. We've been together almost 2 years. It is the most life affirming, the most expansive, the most unconditionally loving relationship I've ever been in with a partner.
Wow.
And we are
Congratulations.
dedicated to having like a clear relationship. And what does that mean? That means that if there's something like that, like if I behaved out of integrity or not in most loving way, hopefully I have the awareness, or he will remind me. And then I can say just that, just like you did. Like I didn't mean it. I'm gonna do better next time. And that can even just be something for yourself. Like now, when that happens, you can behave differently. You'll be given another opportunity, a million times in the rest of your relationship with your husband to behave differently. And that's how we create change. That is how it's like we don't change overnight. We change through habits, new ways of being. And maybe our habits haven't been that great. You know what I mean? And that just means that we're given the opportunity the next day to be different. Like I think about one of my chapters in the book is called Opening to New Love. And I tell the story of how I met Hector. But then the other side of opening to new love is how we are all presented with this opportunity on a daily basis to be more loving in our existing relationships. I mean,
Everywhere,
of
everywhere.
course, in our parenting, in like you just said that example with your husband, that is you opening to new love, opening to new ways of relating. And Esther Perel talks about this. I mean, she's been married to her husband for over 30 years, right? And she says, in these, I think 35 years, I've been married to like I've been a different person like five times. We've had five different marriages in the last 35 years. I'm like, I get it. Because we are constantly changing and constantly growing.
We should
Yes.
be. We
So
should
your
be. And
relationship is evolving, right?
100%. And I think, you know, those words are so powerful. And maybe it, you know, the more circles I make around the sun, right? It's when you realize how much power it takes to say those three words. I am so sorry.
Oh my
Right?
gosh.
And
I would love it if everybody, like right now that's listening, that is a new practice, okay? And maybe it's uncomfortable, but I'm telling you, Bella, that is my way of being. Like when I mess up, I am the first, I'm the first one to say sorry because I
always.
want things to be clear. I don't, and you know what? It does take two people. Like, let's say all I can say is like saying sorry is powerful. And the next step is like, this is what I acknowledge. I did. And I don't feel good about that. And I'm going to do better next time. So I'm sorry is the first step. And then it goes deeper, right? Because our heart connection, like we need to acknowledge what we actually are part in that and vocalize it so that we can actually do a better repair, you
I
know, a
love
good
that.
repair.
Right. And that's how you make it conscious to yourself. Like, I'm so sorry that I snapped at you and you didn't deserve that. And I made some assumptions and I'm done and I want to be better and I'm working on it. Right. And he was like, oh, wow, no, you're good. Right. It's so, and it's funny, there's so much talk about, women saying, I'm sorry too much. Right. And I think that sometimes that there's this repulsion now of saying, I'm sorry, because we're being told we say it too much. But what I want you as a listener to do is there are going to be moments in your day, probably on a daily basis, if you're honest with yourself, where you could stand to say, I'm sorry, or I'm so sorry to somebody. And it's okay. They're incredibly powerful words. And when they are said to the right person at the right place at the right time for the right reason, you are elevating the vibration. That is putting more love into the world. You are not only loving the other person, but you are also forgiving yourself by saying you're sorry to somebody else. It's very powerful.
Yes.
I don't know that I ever realized this until this moment in this conversation with you, that when you say, I'm so sorry, you are also forgiving yourself.
Yes, you are. You're giving it
Holy
back to
shit.
yourself. Yes, Bella. Because did you know that when, like, thank you for affirming that because I just learned it too. We learned it together.
We
Thank
learned it
you.
together.
When it's just the same, it's the same thing with what we give. When we give, we receive.
Yes.
And do we understand that? Because that is when the more we give, the more we receive. And so in offering, and this is what I mean around the power and the love of forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act of love. Right? That's what it is. Like at the very, very core, its essence is love. And so when we are giving love through forgiveness, we are receiving it in return.
Yes, that's so true. That's so true.
Yeah.
It's almost like if we loop it back to the conversation and the aha we just had, it's almost like when you forgive someone, it's like saying, I'm sorry for being angry at you. Okay. And so what does that do? That gives you that freedom.
You don't have to be, you're not angry anymore. You've
You're
dropped
not
it.
angry anymore. You've dropped it. And so you've released it to that person. I'm not saying that they didn't do something that was awful or something that you're like, oh my God, and you've held this anger and you've held this hurt in there, right? But when you, if that is your act of forgiveness, how do I do it? Maybe that's an easy way for us to just say, I'm sorry for being angry with you for all these years. I'm ready to let it go. That doesn't
I'm gonna give you,
excuse.
yes, I'm gonna give you an example of something in my book that I talk about because my second marriage, I've been married twice. And it's funny because my kids are like, Mom, promise me you won't get married again. Like, right. I'm like, I'm not gonna promise anything. Like, what the heck, man?
Right.
No.
This is my life. Three could
Yeah,
be a
and also
charm.
like I do want to get married. Like, I love being married. That's I want to be, but okay, we're not gonna go there right now. But I'm not in any hurry with Hector, but you know, we'll see down the road. But what I wanted to say is that my second marriage was an example of what love is not. I ended up in a relationship that was extremely unhealthy. It was the epitome of toxic, and I saw things and I experienced things that were the opposite of love, you know? And it was a great lesson in love for me. to actually be experiencing the opposite of what love really is not in my own home, in my own bed, in my own family. And I'm no longer in that marriage. And I thank God every day for that. I really, really do.
Wow.
But I came to a point where I'm like, I want to forgive this man. And it's for my own health, my own well-being. Because if I'm going to walk around and be the most loving person I can be, I want that for myself. I don't want to hold resentment and anger towards somebody that I was in relationship with as a, you know, and it's not condoning somebody. It's not erasing what happened. It's not about forgetting. It's about, for me, I see it as cutting a cord to that person, all that negativity, all that resentment, all that stuff. I don't want to carry that in my life. I want to have non-attachment to this person, non-attachment. And I did forgive him. And our interactions, we still interact because we share a son. Like we're raising our son together. And that doesn't mean it's easy. That doesn't mean I want to be around this person. I don't. And I actually make every effort to stay away from him because it's not good for my health in any way. But I forgave him. So you know what I mean? Forgiveness is not about like, it's an act of non-attachment.
And let me guess, he's not one to apologize.
Oh no.
No.
Absolutely
not.
It's
all your fault. It was all your fault. You deserved it.
Well, all of that and more, but, we're not going to forgive with needing something in return.
Correct. You just gave it.
Right.
Like, I choose to release this anger about your 117,000 acts of unkindness, non-love, hatred, whatever. It's like, I just choose to let it go.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what forgiveness is. It's letting it go.
Yeah. So there's a whole chapter on that, Bella. At the end of the day, what I'm still doing, I'm on a lifelong journey of learning how to love. And I believe we all are. There's so many resources and so many people that can teach us. And what I tried to do in my book was really bring together all the lessons I learned from the experts into my own lived experience and put it in digestible ways that we could all like, oh, what does it mean to be a people pleaser? How does that play out in my behaviors? What does it mean to be, you know, I was a high functioning codependent, you know, when I was little, I was very good at being like the peacekeeper and actually trying to manage, you know, I was the manager like of like people's emotions in my household. As a little girl, I was really good at it, you know, and it turned into in my adult life, I was taking those behaviors into being like over-functioning and creating codependent dynamics that were not serving me in my relationships. And once we're aware of our behaviors and how they're not serving us, those things in particular, we can change, right? Once the awareness is, I was like, oh, that's how, wow, I was part of that. Whoa, that wasn't good. So now I know not to do that. And those things still happen sometimes, but I'm like, now I'm like given the reminder, oh, don't behave that way. That's not a good behavior. You know, like nobody's perfect, but I want to know what I'm doing so that I can change it.
Isn't it great? And you know what they say is change doesn't have to take years. Change can happen in an instant.
Yes, it can.
And it's a choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Like something that Terry Real taught me, and he's one of Terry Real. Okay. Dr. Terry Real. Come on. The Godfather. He's one of the God. Like, I love this man with my whole heart. He ended up being our couples counselor. And the reason the angel that came into my life, I mean, not many people can say that Dr. Terry Real was their counselor, but he was mine. And he helped me see things that I was not able to see. He needed to shine the light that I thought I was seeing it, but I wasn't clear, you know? And he helped me see it so clearly that I was like, okay, I need to get out of this relationship. But something that Terry reinforces is like, there's no need for harshness. There's no room for harshness in our relationships. Okay? Like, listen to that wisdom.
Wow.
Sometimes it's like so simple, not easy, but powerful, right? So if you are prone to, I mean, I was raised in a household where there was a lot of harshness going on.
Same.
And, you know, I don't consider myself a harsh person, but you know, we can see where there can be like, oh, like that dig or that, no.
Look what I just did to my husband, right? Like what? Right? You're like, oh my God, right? And those things run deep.
Oh,
nature
yeah.
Plus nurture. Oof.
Yes. So it's all about, you know, we can laugh at ourselves and be like, okay, I'll do better next time. I mean, really though, because we are a work in progress. I believe that, and you're doing this in your work too, Bella, you're helping people find and like be in good relationships. We can all get there. We're 50% of the interactions. So what's our part and how can I be the best version of myself, my highest self? And that will transform the relationships you're in.
100%. And to that point, when I take my clients through that exercise of looking at their elevator people and what qualities elevate them, I'm like, now we know who we're going to look for in the dating world, but here's the big plot twist. You need to become an elevator person in the world.
That's right. That's what we're saying.
Right? And so how do you show up as an elevator person? Not just to the
Exactly.
people that you think deserve it, but how do you put that electromagnetic energy out there of being an elevator person? Because you want to attract that into your life. It's a system.
It is a system. It's a way of being. And maybe
Correct.
What it is a little reminder before you get out of the car or if you're taking the train, doesn't matter, before you step in the door of that date. Okay, I'm going to be loving. Full stop. And what does that look like? It looks like all the minute little things that just add up, you know, to the interaction you're having. Maybe it's as simple as that.
That's it, right? Be the kind of person you love and that elevates
that you want to be with.
Yes. It's like, here's the secret, right? Be an elevator person.
Yeah. I love it, Bella Gandhi.
Oh,
thank
my
you so
God.
much.
You are so welcome. We will have a link to your book in the show notes. And
I hope that people that are listening, obviously, I would love it if people read my book, listen to it. There's going to be an Audible version.
Oh, good.
I also hope that people will come to In Bloom in Vancouver. Every April, we host this amazing summit. And it's, you know what? Like, it is so, you could feel the love in the air. Like, because there is. It's like, it's all love.
Oh, I will come one day.
Yes, you will, Bella. And you can come anywhere. You can come virtually because there's an online. It's great to be in person. I mean, I believe that's like the epitome, but you can join in virtually from anywhere in the world. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Well,
it's April 10th, 11th, 12th for those of you that, yeah, it's coming up.
Amazing. Well, Robin, thank you. I would love to have you on the show again to talk
I
more
would,
about the book.
Oh my gosh, there's so many
so
things.
Fun.
It's so many things, right?
Absolutely.
We can talk about love all day long, and we do, Bella.
We do. And smart daters, if this conversation has sparked you, and I know we covered a lot today, elevator people, forgiveness, the spark, safety. If this conversation didn't spark you to say, it's time to change something in my dating life, I don't know what did. So if it did, shoot us an email, go to smartdatingacademy.com. Fill out a form. I want you to be in our statistics of zero divorces. So I got your back. All right. So
awesome.
With that being said, Robin, thank you again. And Smart Daters.
Thank you so much.
Until our next episode, I give you all huge hugs and a giant dose of psychotic optimism.
Psychotic optimism. Blessings to you.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.